Okay, if you have your scripture with you this morning, however you access it, I see some that have their Bibles, some that have their smartphone and tablets and all kinds of different things, but turn with me over to the book of John, and we're going to be reading from John chapter 20, beginning with the first verse and down through the 10th verse. John chapter 20, beginning with verse number 1. The Bible says in John 20 and verse number 1, "And the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and she saw the stone had been taken away from the entrance of the tomb. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." That would have been John. Not that he didn't love the others, but they thought John was his pet. Yeah, I'm just putting it out there. That's what it was. "She ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. And Peter went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre," or the tomb, "and so they both ran together, and the other disciple, John, did outrun Peter, and came to the tomb first. And stooping down, he looked in, and he saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then came Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and saw the linen clothes lying there, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple," John entered into the tomb, "which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went again unto their own home." And I'm going to stop reading right there and ask if you will just bow your heads and pray with me and ask the Lord for his anointing and for his help in ministering the word. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful this morning that we have an opportunity to gather here today in your name. And we are thankful, Lord, from the very bottoms of our hearts that you have already touched us and spoken to us by your Spirit through our worship. We have felt your presence as we sang and as we praised. And now, Father, we come to the reading of this, your word. And I would ask this morning, Lord, that you would divinely enable me. I know, and you know, that of my own self, I can do nothing. But Father, if you will bless me to be a blessing, if you will put your words in my mind and in my heart and in my mouth to speak as an instrument in your hand, then we will receive from you this morning. Give us liberty in the house of God, unction to function. Give us, I pray, Lord, divine ability to speak as an oracle and a mouthpiece for God this morning. Bless me to be a blessing. Above all things, I pray that Jesus Christ will be glorified and he will be exalted, and that people's hearts would be edified through the word and by the touch of your Spirit. And Father, these things being accomplished, we will be forever grateful and we will be forever thankful. And we have asked them now and do ask them in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So I want to title my message this morning, What is Your Easter Perspective? What is your Easter perspective? In our text this morning, obviously, we find the story of resurrection. And we find the story of the empty tomb. But as I began to seek the Lord and began to study and ask the Lord what He would have me to bring to you this morning, the Lord began to draw out in me and began to show me something that I would like for you to entertain in your heart this morning. Not only do we find the story of resurrection and the story of the empty tomb, but I think if we look a little closer at the text and we investigate the text a little bit closer, then we will also find that it is the story of how three people saw the event of the resurrection, or how they viewed the event. At this point in our text, Jesus has been crucified. They have wrapped His body in linen clothes and they have laid Him in the grave. He has been in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. It is now Sunday morning on the first day of the week, and Mary Magdalene shows up. Amen. And if you read some of the other gospels, she has others that are with her. When she gets there, she finds that the stone to the tomb that had been sealed by the Romans, guarded by the Roman soldiers, she finds that the stone had been rolled away. She finds, as she goes in and investigates, she finds that the tomb is empty. And she says these words in the first, or in the second verse. She said, "They have taken His body, and we do not know where they have laid Him." In other words, in her mind, somebody took the body. She didn't see it as Jesus being raised from the dead. She said, "Somebody has taken the body of the Lord, and we don't know where they put it." Peter and John hear this message and they run to the graveside, and John arrives first with Peter moments behind him. They press their way into the empty tomb and they find the grave closed, but they too find no body. I find it interesting this morning that even though Mary, Peter, and John all witnessed an empty tomb, they came away with a dramatically different response. They each had a different perspective concerning what they saw. Mary saw the empty tomb and believed that Jesus' body had been taken. We read in verse 8 that John saw the empty tomb, and the Bible said that he believed. And then we read in the scripture, and as we read, it indicates that Peter simply didn't know what to believe. How many of you have ever been in a situation like that? Amen. Three very different perspectives. Mary thinks that someone has stolen the body. John absolutely believes that Jesus has risen from the dead. And Peter walks away, amen, from the tomb, shaking his head, saying, "I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to receive." Isn't it amazing this morning that sometimes we can all see the same thing and come away with a different point of view? I read a little story this past week about an artist and a preacher and a cowboy. And they were all taken to the edge of the Grand Canyon and were viewing the Grand Canyon for the first time. The artist said, "Wow, what a wonderful scenery to paint." The preacher said, "Wow, just look at the handiwork of God." And the cowboy tipped his hat back and said, "Wow, what a terrible place to lose a calf." Hello? A very, very, very dramatic, different response. Can you say amen? Amen. I wonder this morning, amen, what do you see when you view the resurrection? What do you see when you stop to contemplate what happened on resurrection morning? What is your perspective? What do you see? Maybe you are like some today who believe that it was a conspiracy and the disciples stole the body away so that, amen, Jesus' claim of rising from the dead, amen, would somehow, amen, come true. Maybe you are here this morning and the resurrection story is just something to be looked at, amen, with skepticism. No one rises from the dead. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Jesus wasn't just anybody. He was the Son of God. Amen. Before he ever went to the cross, he said, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to raise it up again. Amen. This commandment have I received of my Father. Maybe you are here this morning, and your perspective is, amen, you don't know what to believe. You don't know what you see when you look at the resurrection. The whole event doesn't make any sense. Amen. The whole event, no way, shape, or form can you find any way to understand it. It is not to be understood with the carnal mind. It is to be received by faith in our heart. This morning I ask, what is your personal perspective? When you look at Resurrection Sunday, when you look at the event of resurrection, keep in mind this morning that every question, amen, every question that is asked must have an answer that resolves both the what and the so what. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? Amen, the Easter message is the what happened. The Easter message is the what happened or the events of our text. The so what part of the equation, amen, of the question that must be answered is, so what does it mean to me? What does his resurrection mean to me? There are many today that are familiar with what happened in the Easter story, and they could tell you the events, but I can't help but wonder this morning as I stand to deliver God's word, I can't help but wonder where we stand in answering the so what does it mean to me? Was it just a historical event? Was it just something that happened, amen, in the ancient days of old? Was it something, amen, that was just written? Amen. Are we like Mary wondering who took the body? Are we like John who believed? Or are we like Peter who walk away going, I don't know what to receive. I don't know what to believe. This morning I want to share with you my Easter perspective. I want to share with you what I have learned from the Word of God that teaches me how to view the resurrection of our Savior. This morning, let me share with you my Easter perspective. The first thing that I see when I look at the message of Easter, and the first thing that becomes apparent to me from the Word of God, is simply that He is alive. I see a God this morning that lives. I see a God this morning that is alive and well. I see a God this morning, amen, that has risen from the dead. And there is an empty tomb in Jerusalem to prove it. Everything that he ever was, he still is. Everything that he ever was, he still is. What does that mean, preacher? It means that everything that he said, everything that he promised, is still true. The Apostle John would see Jesus many years after his death, after his burial, and after his ascension up into the heavens. John was on the Isle of Patmos, exiled for the gospel's sake. And John says in Revelation chapter 1, amen, beginning with the 10th verse, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me. And John said that voice sounded like a trumpet. And he said, when I turned to see who it was that was speaking to me, he came face to face with the glorified Son of the living God. He came face to face with the resurrected Jesus Christ. John says that he looked at me and said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. John said that his hair, amen, was white like wool, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet were as fine brass that burned in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. Amen. And Jesus turns to him, and when John looks at Christ, the Bible said that he was so overwhelmed by the glory and the power of the living God that John said, and I fell at his feet like a dead man. Jesus touches him on the shoulder and says, fear not. I am the first and the last. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Saith the Almighty. And he said, I have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. John hears Jesus say to him in verse number 8 of Revelation chapter 1. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that he is still alive and that he is still among us today. Can I tell you something this morning? There is no other God, quote unquote, little g, that can make that claim. Buddha died. They buried him. And guess what? He is still in the grave. Amen. Hare Krishna died. They buried him. And guess what? He is still in the grave. Muhammad died. And guess what? They can take you to his tomb because he's still in the grave. But hey, Jesus Christ died. Amen. And on the third day, the power of the living God shot down out of heaven and shook the earth. And the stone was rolled away. And he arose victorious over his adversaries. Oh, Lord, help me. I need to settle down, right? Nope, thank you. All right, I won't. He's alive. No other deity can make that claim. He is alive. When I view the resurrection, it tells me that I serve a living God. That I serve a God that is touched with the feeling of my infirmities. Amen. And he can step down right in the middle of my situations in life and give me direction. He can help me. He can uphold me. He can strengthen me. He can give me power to overcome. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. So what does it mean that he's alive? Because he lives, he has become my counselor and my Prince of Peace. Because he lives, he has become my advocate and my defense attorney in the courtroom of heaven. Because he lives, he is my healer and he is my refuge. Because he lives, he is my savior and he is my redeemer. because he lives. He is my fortress and my strong tower. And when I'm in trouble, I can run to the rock and find safety and find refuge, because he lives. He is my master and my king. He is my teacher and my intercessor. Amen. The first thing that I see this morning, I see a resurrected, life-giving God who has the power to make dead things live again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see a God that is alive. Easter speaks to me that he is alive. He has risen from the dead. Secondly, when I look at the resurrection and my perspective is made clear by the word of God, I see an enemy that is defeated. Amen. How many of you know if you're on the Lord's side, you're on the winning side? Amen. The enemy has been defeated. Make no mistake, our enemy is real. The adversary, or our enemy, is known in Scripture by many names. He is called the dragon, Satan, the serpent, the adversary, the devil. He's called the wicked one. But listen what the Bible says concerning him. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Our adversary is very real. But let me just tell you this morning, no matter what name you want to put on him, amen, and no matter that he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, the message of Easter declares that Jesus Christ won the victory over our adversary and spoiled the powers of darkness and spoiled the powers of the enemy. Amen. For eternity. Amen. What do you suppose this morning that Jesus did? Amen. From Friday sundown to Sunday morning sunup. Do you think that his body and his spirit just lay in the grave? That's not what the Bible teaches. Let me tell you, when they laid his lifeless body in that tomb, let me tell you where his spirit went. His spirit, the Bible says, descended into hell. He descended into the lower part of the earth. Amen. And the Bible said that he took captivity captive. And he led them out. And when he went out with the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He went out victorious. In other words, his spirit, when they put his body in the tomb, his spirit descended into hell itself and proclaimed victory over the enemy and took up, amen, the Old Testament saints out of paradise and took them into heaven. The Bible teaches that he proclaimed liberty to the captives. He destroyed the weapons and the power of our adversary. He spoiled his house and took the keys of death and hell away from him. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. In other words, the cross may have looked like defeat, but what looked like defeat was the greatest victory that this world has ever known, because it was through the cross that he delivered you and I from the power and the Satan's grip. Amen. The resurrection declares that the enemy is defeated. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God. Everybody say, thanks be unto God. He gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we have received victory over death, over sin, over the grave, because Christ was victorious. I see this morning a defeated enemy. The third thing that I see a gospel that's powerful. I see a gospel that's powerful. When I look at the resurrection, I see a gospel that has the power to change lives. Listen what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Beloved, let me tell you, that's the good news of the gospel, is that all things can become made new in your life. The good news is that it's all good. Can you say amen? The good news is that it's all good. If you experience trouble in life, it is nothing more than a speed bump on your way to victory. You hear what I'm talking about? Amen. Yes, we're going to encounter struggles. And yes, we're going to encounter hardships. But they are nothing more than a speed bump on our way to victory when God... If we are in Christ, the Bible said that we are a new creature. If we are in Christ, then our sins are gone, and the charges that were against us have been nailed to the cross. Amen. The blood of Jesus has washed us from all of our sins and all of our iniquity, and there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If we are in Christ, then we are born again, and we are adopted into the family of God, and our name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. If we are in Christ, we are filled with His Holy Spirit. Amen. We are overshadowed and we are upheld by the power of God. Amen. If we are in Christ, we are saved and we are forgiven. If we are in Christ, we are sent. Amen. We are called and we are sent. If we are in Christ, we are accompanied and we are commended before God. If we are in Christ, then we are instructed by the Holy Spirit and we are blessed, blessed, blessed beyond our wildest imagination. The Bible said that He's caused us to sit with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. We have this morning the greatest message. We have this morning the greatest message that the world has ever heard. And we need to share it. Can you say amen? I see a God that is alive. I see an enemy that is defeated. I see a gospel that is powerful. And I see a hope that is sure. I see a hope that is sure. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 19. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, if in this life only we have hope, if we only have hope in this life, then we are of all men most miserable. How many of you know life will shatter your hopes sometimes? But if this life is all that we have to hope in, then we are of all men most miserable. But he says, but Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. By man, by Adam, by man came death, but by the man, Jesus Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, but even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. That's enough to make a Baptist shout. He was raised from the dead. What does that say? So what? What does that mean to me? It means because He was raised, we shall rise also. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. How many of you know if you pick an apple off an apple tree, there are more apples to follow? More apples are coming on. He, Jesus, was the first fruits of the resurrection. That word, first fruits, means the first part of the harvest. It means that, amen, it is an indication that there is more to come. The point is that Jesus' resurrection assures you and I that we too have a hope far beyond this earth. Amen, because we too shall be resurrected in Him. Do you have scripture for that, Pastor Gary? I do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 14 through 18. Paul says these words, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, not by the word of man, but by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them who are in the grave. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God," and listen to this, "and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I have this morning a sure hope because he came out of the grave. This old body, when it goes to the grave, is going to come out as well." Hallelujah. There's an old song that says, "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." Amen. I'm gonna tell you something this morning. If I die and go by the way of the grave, you can plant me in the ground. But I'm here to tell you this morning, come resurrection morning, when the trump of God sounds, you better step up out the way, because I'm gonna come up out of the grave and go to meet my master in the air. His resurrection guarantees my resurrection and your resurrection. Amen. I see a God that is alive, an enemy that is defeated, a gospel that is powerful, and a hope that is sure. Lastly, I see a promise that is beyond description. I see a promise that is beyond description. Because in that day, when that trumpet sounds and we are raised in Christ to meet the Master in the air, the Bible says that we are going to be with him throughout eternity. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so," he said, "I would have told you, but I," this is Jesus talking, "but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," he said, "I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What does it mean, Pastor Gary? It means that he has gone to prepare a place for you and I, that we may spend eternity in his presence. Where is he this morning? In his Father's house, where there are many mansions. He said he's coming to take us and receive us unto himself. You say, "Pastor Gary, that sounds like pie in the sky." Can I tell you it's bigger than pie in the sky? Amen. Can I tell you, John the Apostle got a glimpse of that city, and he said it was built four square. He said it had 12 foundations. Amen. And each foundation was for one of the apostles. He said it had 12 gates. Amen. Three on each
each side. He said the walls are made of jasper and the gates are made of pearl and the streets are paved with pure gold. Amen. John said there's no way that I can tell you how beautiful it is. The only way that I can tell you, amen, and describe it is to just tell you what's not there. He said in that land there's not going to be any more pain and there's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more sickness and there's not going to be any more sadness and there's not going to be any more death and not going to be any more tears because God will wipe away every tear. Amen. He said in that city there ain't going to be no need for the sun. There's not going to be need for the S-U-N because the S-O-N is going to shine and be the light of the city. Amen. There's not going to be any more sin and not going to be any more separation. There's not going to be any more pain and there's not going to be any more sorrow. And we'll never have to say goodbye. How many of you have ever had to say goodbye to a loved one? Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Amen. Just because you had to say goodbye, when I look at the resurrection, it means that he comes again and brings them up. Amen. And we'll spend eternity with them. Amen. Hallelujah. What a day that will be. Amen. When I look at the resurrection, I see a God that is alive. I see an enemy that is defeated. I see a gospel that is powerful. Powerful enough to change a black heart and make it white as snow. I see a hope that is sure. Amen. And I see a promise that is beyond description. The word of God says that eye have not seen, and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of a man what God has in store for those that love him. Can I tell you something this morning? That empty tomb speaks volumes. That empty tomb says he's alive. Amen. And his promises are true. And that he's coming back for you and I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, like that artist and the preacher and the cowboy looking at the Grand Canyon. When you look at the resurrection, what is your perspective? And are you like Mary? Are you like John? Are you like Peter, scratching your head? Are you bewildered? No need to be. The Bible declares that he lives. And because he lives, we will live with him. I could go through the scripture this morning and point out instances where others saw him after his death, after his burial. He appeared to Mary. She said, Rabbi, when she recognized him. He appeared, Luke 24, he appeared to the two who were on their way to Emmaus. They didn't know who he was. They're talking amongst themselves about all the stuff that had happened in the last few days, months, and weeks. But they joined themselves with Jesus and they're walking along and Jesus begins to open the scripture to them and expound to them the truth. And they get in to have supper and Jesus takes bread and blesses it and breaks it. And the Bible said their eyes were opened and they recognized who he was. And he disappeared out of their sight. The disciples back in Jerusalem are gathered for fear of the Jews. They're locked into a house. And right in the middle of their fearful gathering, right through the wall, Jesus walked into their midst. He said, Thomas, come here. Don't be doubtful. Put your finger in the nail print. Put your hand in my side. See that it's me. Touch me. Handle me. And you know what? He sat down and had fish with them. Amazing. He was seen by many after his death, after his burial, and after his resurrection. If you read in the book of Corinthians, Paul tells us that at one time he was seen by over 500 people. At one time. How many of you know how many eyewitnesses it takes to get a conviction in a courtroom? Just one. You have an eyewitness to a crime, they sit on the witness stand, testify, I saw it with my own eyes. Case settled. Here are 500 who saw Jesus at the same time. 500 witnesses at the same time. I could go through verse and chapter and show you in the scripture how that it is proven in the word of God that he arose from the dead. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, you would not believe if one came back from the dead. And he did, and they still didn't believe. So I'm just here to tell you this morning, he's alive. The enemy is defeated. We have a sure promise. We have a sure hope. Amen. We have, because he is alive, that's my Easter perspective. What's yours? What is your Easter perspective? Bow your heads all over the building this morning. Oh, Father, how we thank you that we serve a risen Savior. That he is with us and everything that he was, he still is. That every promise he spoke is still in effect and guaranteed by his blood. Thank you this morning, Lord, that you did not leave our Savior in the grave, but that you lifted him up and you did not suffer him to see corruption. But you raised him in glorious victory over our adversary. And because he is the first fruits, that we will follow in his footsteps. We have a wonderful hope. We have a wonderful promise. We have a sure hope in our Savior this morning. And we thank you for that, and we are grateful for that. I pray, Heavenly Father, that if there is one here this morning that has not surrendered their life to Christ, maybe they have not given thought. Maybe they have not given thought to what resurrection really means. Father, I pray this morning that you would open the eyes of their understanding and cause them to see that this is a great day of celebration. This is a great day to rejoice in the victory of our Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you are here in this place this morning? Maybe you're here and you would say, Pastor Gary, I have not really contemplated what resurrection really, really means. I have a warped perspective of what this day really means. But today, I have more understanding. I recognize today I have more of an understanding. Are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say the word that was preached for my benefit? Amen. God bless you and you. I see hands there and there. Amen. How many of you are with me this morning and you would lift your hand and say, Lord, I am grateful for the resurrection of my Savior. Amen. Hands all over this place. I am thankful for the resurrection of my Jesus. Stand to your feet, if you will, this morning, please. Hands have been lifted both times this morning. Some have said I've had a bit of a warped perspective. Some have lifted their hands and said, I'm grateful for the resurrection power of my Savior. Let me just pray with you, each one, before we dismiss. Father, as we come to the closing of this service this morning, we are grateful and we are thankful for hands that have been lifted. I ask you to touch their hearts. I ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into their heart. I ask, Lord, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to encourage and draw them closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us each one, all of us, help us each one to see our need and our necessity for a closer, more intimate relationship with the resurrected Jesus. Father, we dismiss this congregation and we ask that you would go with them. Pray that your Holy Spirit would keep them throughout this week, that you would bless their households spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, in every area of their life. Bless them to be a blessing. Empower them to freely give to others. Freely give an encouraging word. Freely give a prayer. Freely distribute what you pour into our lives. Bring us back, I ask, O Lord, at the appointed time. Cause us to come, I pray, rejoicing in our Savior. And we will give you the praise for it and give you the thanks for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Go ahead and say.